D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
One of the issues which most troubles and perplexes the national life today is the issue of church and state.
There has been no recession in Washington. The government has continued to grow.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. My name is Frank Wright. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to visit our website, which features access to great digital, audio, video, and print resources. You can find it all at djameskennedy.org. Though America's founders intended for government to be minimal, we live in an era where government is involved in virtually everything. Tens of millions depend on government for their jobs, their provision, and their guidance. The word for all of this is statism, and it's a growing danger as Americans increasingly look to government as if it were their savior. Dexter Sanders is a pastor in Orlando, Florida, with a deep concern about the role of government in the lives of his people. We had a chance to sit down recently and discuss this issue. Should we be concerned about the growth of government in our society?
We need to be very, very concerned. It's reached way too far and overstepping its boundaries. The Constitution was set up to make sure that government was refrained from stepping outside those boundaries. And now we have a government that kind of says to heck with the Constitution, and we're going to kind of do what we want to do anyway.
What are the implications for sort of dependency on government when you get to that place where half the people are dependent on some government payment?
Well, look what it's done to the African-American community since the 1960s when the Welfare Act came. African-Americans thought this was the greatest thing since sliced bread because they're getting that handout on the 1st and the 16th of the month, and they're getting these food stamps. But look what it did to the structure of the African-American family. Now the man is not in the house anymore because the woman can't receive these benefits if a man is there. She'd rather have the money than the guy. And so now we have more single-parent homes, African-American community, than ever before. It is a modern-day slavery is what it is. We're enslaved to the mailbox on the 1st of the month because we run out there to get that check. We're enslaved to the mailbox on the 16th because we run out there to get that check. And then, even worse than that, we continue to vote for people who are going to give us that check. Back in slavery day, we didn't have a choice about slavery. Today we have a choice. But because of ignorance, we become dependent on this government, and people don't live the lives that God would have intended for them. He created us that we would be more than conquerors in Him, but we don't have that today because of this modern-day slave system.
You said that there's a destruction of the family that comes from dependency, but then you also said there's a huge theological component to this.
Absolutely.
When you're looking elsewhere than to God, what does that do?
Well, see, in essence, we've done the very thing that God said, the very commandment, thou shalt have no other God before thee. And now we've made government God. And we have a government that doesn't mind playing God, too. Only thing, he's not going to love us the way God Almighty would love us. And so now we got this entity, this thing that we have to this thing that we have to report to, we have to honor, we have to lie, we have to cheat, we have to do everything that goes against the will of God to be a part of this system that says it's here to help us, but instead is taking away the very human rights that God afforded to us. Look at what this thing does. This thing says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Help me to do what? You're going to give me just enough to keep me dependent on you, and what you give me is going to allow me to live like a second-class citizen. I'm going to live in the slums of America. I'm going to eat the cheapest food. I'm going to live dirt poor, and then I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal so I can get more. Well, how much can the government do? Not very much if you take a look at what's happening right now.
Okay, so I'm one of these guys that listens to you, and I say, I've got to change. I've got to be aligned with the principles of God. I want my life as a Christian to be in accordance with the Word of God. What do I do?
God gave us the answer in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land. And so that's the promise of God, that if we would do the things that become before then, that he'd do everything that comes after then. So if we would humble, and remember who he's talking to now, he's not talking to the sinful people, he's talking to the church, the so-called church. If we would humble and pray and seek his face and turn from our wickedness, turn from our evil ways, he promises three things. He says, I will hear from heaven, meaning that the blessings that have been cut off from heaven will now be open. He says, I will forgive our sins. The sins of 60 million slaughtered babies, 60 million babies murdered at the hands of America. And let's not talk about the Native Americans, and let's not talk about the African Americans got killed too. All for the same thing. God says, I will forgive the sins of this nation. And then the last thing he says is, I will heal the land.
So restoration of the health of America is dependent upon a church that first humbles itself, seeks the face of God, repents, and looks to him.
It's the only way this country is going to survive. There is no other way. There's no political solution. There's no social solution. There's no economic solution that's going to change the way we are right now.
Excellent. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
As you've just heard, government makes a poor savior. Yet more and more people are looking to government to do the work of God. My friend and mentor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, was deeply concerned about the danger of runaway government encroaching into every area of life. He knew that a government usurping God would make every effort to push the true God out of the way. Here is the heart of his message, Church and State.
One of the issues which most troubles and perplexes the national life today is the issue of church and state. All manner of opinions have been set forth. What indeed is to be the relationship of church and state in this country? We are all aware of the fact that the First Amendment declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, what exactly does that mean? Today, we have been moving in a direction which attempts to say that that means that religion is to have no part in the national life of this country. Now, it is vitally important for us to realize that the very foundation of America was built upon the concept that we had been created by God and given by God certain inalienable rights, and that governments were instituted merely to protect those rights which came from God. Now, if we get rid of the concept of inalienable rights given by God, then we lose the very foundation of our liberties which were established in the Declaration. And that is why that the evolutionary teaching of our time is so dangerous to the basic liberties that we enjoy. Do you not see that if man has not been created by God, if rather he merely evolved by some concatenation of amino acids and molecules in an ancient sea, then he has no inalienable rights. The only rights which he has are those rights which government may see fit to grant unto him, and those rights which are granted by government may be withdrawn at their pleasure. And that is precisely the situation that exists in every atheistic, communistic nation in the world today. My friends, without a belief in a creator, there are no absolute and inalienable rights. In 1929, the communists issued a protocol. And in that protocol, which described various ways in which they were to bring about the destruction of America, they said that the concept of separation of church and state should be pushed to the extremist position, that all religion should be removed as the underpinning for government of this nation, in order that eventually, having grown weak and flabby and convictionless and fearful, this government might fall. Indeed, we have come a long way along that path. And there are organizations today of atheists and other unbelievers and separatists who would try to do exactly what the communists ordered in that protocol, to get rid of every vestige of religion, to push the idea of the separation of church and state, which, of course, is not found in the Constitution. That was taken from a private letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists in 1802, which was 11 years after the First Amendment was passed. And it does not represent accurately what the First Amendment says. And therefore, they want to push this to the extreme position and get rid of all of the Christian and religious foundations of this country. I am sure that if the people for the American way, so-called, were the ones who were founding this country today, that not one single such sentiment as all of these dozens or scores that I have mentioned to you today would be found in our national heritage. And yet these people do not, let me say it again, do not represent the American way. They represent a total departure from the historic American way, clearly indicated by all of the documents and evenly officially stated by the Supreme Court of this land. Let us not be deceived any further by them. I believe that the time is long past for Christians to stand on their feet and say, thus far and no farther. We have had enough with this. We can no longer allow such movements as these to reduce this godly nation to a secularist, atheistic, humanistic state where ultimate freedoms and rights are reduced to nothing more than the whim of the government to either grant or to withdraw. God grant that we have not become so weak, so vacillating, and so fearful that we do not have the courage to take a stand for God and this nation's freedoms and our religious liberty and the truth. God grant us the courage to take a stand while we still have a place to stand.
Many have complained recently about the fact that everything has become so political. But when you think about it, that's the necessary consequence of statism. If the state is involved in every sphere of life, then everything becomes overly politicized. It's hard now to even imagine a federal government that has almost nothing to do with our everyday lives. And yet, as you're about to see, that's the way it was not all that long ago.
100 years ago, you know, the federal government in D.C. was pretty much a stranger. There was very few functions of the federal government intruding upon the day-to-day lives of citizens.
About the only interaction that most individual Americans ever had with the federal government was either they voted for president, senator, or congressman, or they would send a letter through the U.S. Postal Service, and that was about it.
Since the ratification of the federal income tax in 1913, more and more money has flowed from private hands to the government.
Most of the rest of the country, you know, experienced the Great Recession. Housing prices dropped, unemployment spiked. But here, inside the Beltway, we were pretty protected because the number one industry of Washington is government. And when times are bad, people who work in Washington are the beneficiaries.
Former Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina now heads the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C.
Well, there has been no recession in Washington. The government has continued to grow. To have a little apartment here on the Hill cost me more than my home back in Greenville, South Carolina. But it's just evidence of a government that is just taking more and more of the resources of the private sector, of the individuals, and bringing it here where we don't produce anything.
And with this massive transfer of wealth to Washington over the past century has come a corresponding transfer of power. Ray Hederman Jr. is director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation.
Fast forward to where we are today. You know, you get in the car you drive. The federal government is setting the standards in terms of gas mileage. Take a look at the energy you use, your water standards, your toilet size, how much electricity, you know, washers and dryers are able to draw from. Take a look at the school food lunch program where the federal government is now trying to pick and choose the foods people eat.
It seems there is nothing too insignificant for the federal government to seek to take power over.
Ernest Hemingway left behind a six-toed cat named Snowball.
In December 2012, for example, the government, after a lengthy and expensive battle in federal court, took authority over the famous six-toed cats at the Ernest Hemingway House in Key West.
Undercover agents, plural, were sent down there to observe the cats.
Nowhere in the Constitution can you find enumerated power for the federal government to assert authority over six-toed cats down in the Florida Keys. You know, we can laugh about that. It's pretty absurd. It's really funny. But there are other things that are not so funny.
Dr. E. Calvin Beisner is the founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation.
The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 13 that the government is God's servant to us for our good to execute vengeance on those who do evil and to commend those who do good. Beyond that, frankly, is not what God calls government to do. We might look, for instance, at giving government handouts to various businesses, subsidies to businesses. That only happens because the government takes money from some people to whom it belongs, who have earned it, and given it to other people to whom it didn't belong and who didn't earn it. You know, the Eighth Commandment does not say, you shall not steal unless you are the government. It just says, you shall not steal. I would argue that the government has no business funding welfare programs, funding food programs, housing programs, any of that sort. That's not what God called it to do.
Indeed, as many experts point out, there are very distinct dangers associated with government overreach.
Everything that the state does, it does by force or at least the implicit threat of force. When the state encroaches, when it oversteps its bounds, there's always that potential for even lethal harm.
Robert Knight is the senior fellow for the American Civil Rights Union.
Government has an insatiable appetite for more power, and there are no natural checks on government except those that are written into our Constitution. The founders started with the notion that man is fallible. We're all sinners, so no one person should get too much power. So they divided it between the branches of the federal government and between the federal government and the states. But in recent years, the growth of government has exponentially increased.
The government, because it has the legal monopoly of force, is far more dangerous than any private individual, any family, any church, any business. Because we're not angels, we need government, but because government employees, because government officials are not angels, they also need their limits.
So the Bible explains God's purpose for civil government, which the founders understood. But does the Bible have anything to say about taxation?
1 Samuel chapter 8, when Israel demanded that they have a king so that they could be like the other nations, Samuel warned them that one of the things that this king would do was that he would demand of them 10%. And this was a warning. And when the state asks for the same percentage of our income that God asks for, the state is inherently assuming to itself, arrogating to itself, godlike status.
At current levels, some Americans pay up to 60% of their income in local, state, and federal taxes. Experts point out there are also economic problems that come with tax-fueled government growth.
All you have to do is look at Detroit. It's been controlled for over 50 years by the big government, high taxes, union-controlled, top-down management. The city's not only bankrupt, but you've got only 7% of eighth graders who read at the grade level. You've got over 400 liquor stores in the city, but no chain supermarkets. The population has decreased by almost two-thirds over the last 50 years. It's just a wasteland, but it is a perfect example of what happens if you continue with the policies that we're seeing in Washington right now.
So what can we do about runaway government?
If I want to see government reformed, if I want to see it pushed back within its proper boundaries, the first thing I have to do is get my hand out of my neighbor's pocket. I need to get off of every kind of government handout that I can possibly get off of. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If I have the kind of trusting relationship with God that God wants to establish with me, all right, then I don't have to trust the state instead of God. I don't become an idolater of the state. I don't begin to be dependent upon it. And I am willing, therefore, to live within the boundaries of what God does provide for me rather than demanding something more. So really, the reformation of government begins with the reformation of my own heart.
America has demanded that the government be our keeper and our provider, and that has come at great cost to our freedoms. As Gerald Ford once said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have. To help navigate this vital issue, we have two important resources for you. To tell us more about them, here's my friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Frank. We know that one of the chief sins of Israel is that they gave up their freedom under God and demanded a king. As part of the judgment against them, God told them the king would take 10% of everything they have. Imagine that, a government that only takes 10%. We far exceeded that in our own day, as our nation has given in to statism. We need to roll back our overreaching government before it's too late. To help inform you on this extremely important issue, I want to share with you the new book, Statism: The Shadows of Another Night. This hard-hitting book features powerful essays from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, C.S. Lewis, R.C. Sproul, President Dwight D. Eisenhower, and Ronald Reagan, among many others. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. In addition, we'll also include a DVD copy of the historic message delivered by Dr. Francis Schaeffer from the pulpit of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church called A Christian Manifesto. This thundering wake-up call on the threat posed by an overreaching government, delivered only 2 years before Dr. Schaeffer's death, carries even more power 33 years later. This message needs to be seen by your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your Sunday school class, your children and grandchildren. I'll send you both the book Statism, The Shadows of Another Night, and the DVD, A Christian Manifesto by Francis Schaeffer, as a thank you for your generous donation. 2016 will be an election year, and we need to be ready to vote for a government that obeys its constitutional boundaries. And we need to know how to encourage others to do the same. This book and DVD set, available for your generous donation for a limited time only, will help you do that. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org.
From a Christian perspective, we know that people in government are just as sinful as anyone else. For that reason, our founders believed in limited government, taking careful steps to separate its powers. But now many among us, like Esau, are willing to sell our birthright of freedom for a bowl of stew. James Madison, in Federalist No. 51, wrote these words, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary." But as Madison well knew, men are not angels. Government is necessary. Yet if given unchecked powers, government becomes the most dangerous entity of all. Paul tells us in Romans 13 that government has the duty of wielding the sword. And it's because government wields the sword that it can also pose such a grave danger. Over the past century, dictatorial governments have taken the lives of tens of millions of people. Of course, we're nowhere near that in America, at least not yet. But when we lose the principle of limited government, when we adopt the notion that government should control every area of life, from healthcare to gas mileage to light bulbs to the size of our toilet tanks, we have already placed our destiny into the hands of human sinners. We're left hoping that they don't give in to the temptation to abuse the overwhelming power we've handed them. But that's not a system of democratic government. That is a fool's bargain, and one that millions have paid for with their very lives. As Christians, let us not participate in the idolatry of government. Let us not steal from our neighbors through government wealth transfers. And let us not confuse the commands of Christ that we care for the poor and visit the orphans by letting ineffectual, mandatory government programs replace the work of God's people. I'm Frank Wright. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Government, said one, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This happens in every large government where they decide they're God and they worship the creation instead of the creator.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.